الحمد لله، الحمد لله الواحد الأحد الصمد الذي لم يلد ولم يولد، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد رسوله الأمجد. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل يا عبادي الذين أسرفوا على أنفسهم لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله، إن الله يغفر الذنوب جميعا، إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: كل بني آدم خطاء، وخير الخطائين التوابون، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Honorable علماء and respected brothers, did we ever contemplate and ponder over the fact that why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala create us? Prior to our creation, the malaika, the angels were worshipping Allah in a way which is impossible for us to worship Him. So why did Allah bring into existence another of His creation? The answer to this question we find in Surah Ash-Shams. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala mentions with regards to the human soul, with regards to the nafs, فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. The basic difference between a human and a malak, an angel, is this: that an angel does not have the ability to sin. He can only worship Allah. But insan has been created with the urge to sin. Insan has been created prone to temptation. Insan has been created with the ability to disobey. Now if he resists that temptation and he then worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that is a greater accomplishment than the worship of the malaika. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala further describing the nafs and soul, He says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. That, O insan, we've given you the ability to do good, we've given you the ability to do evil. We have sent the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam, we have revealed books to encourage you to do good. But as far as evil is concerned, we have sent two temptations. We have sent two means of misguidance. One is Shaytan, your arch enemy, who had sworn his animosity to the progeny of Adam alayhi salatu wassalam when he had refused to make sajda to our forefather. But the greater enemy, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warns us, is the nafs. But as is the sunnatullah, the system of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, when Allah sends something which is of a disadvantage, Allah always sends an equivalent in an advantage form. In other words, if Allah were to send a poison, He always sends an antidote. One of the greatest scholars of today's era, Mufti Taqi Usmani Damat Barakatuhum, he writes with regards to one of his travels in South Africa. Mufti Saab mentions he was traveling by train in the Cape Province. They stopped to perform Salah. And after he had performed his Salah, prior to getting back onto the train, he noticed a very beautiful plant. And as is the nature of insan, when you see something beautiful, it captivates you, then you want to touch it. So he was stretching his hand out to touch this beautiful plant, when immediately his guide rushed forward and grabbed his hand. Told him, Mufti Saab, if I didn't stop you in time, you would have touched this plant which is poisonous. Its poison is as potent, as effective as the poison of a scorpion. Mufti Saab naturally was extremely relieved that he was saved in time. Then the guide smiled to himself and said, but had you touched this plant, I would have taken you a little further. There is a second plant there. It carries the antidote to the poison of that first plant. I would have made you touch that and you would have been cured of the effect of that poison. Now the ulama explained, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has sent us to this dunya with the ability to sin. But Allah does not want us to sin. He wants us to resist that temptation and to worship Him. Because it becomes more of an accomplishment than the malaika, who can only worship Allah because they face no temptations. But Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has also informed us, I have sent shaitan who will leave no stone unturned to try and deviate you. And your nafs is even closer to you, and your nafs will try even harder than shaitan. But I have sent two antidotes to counter the attack of shaitan, to counter the attack of the nafs, and that is tawbah and istighfar. That's why when our forefather Adam ala nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wassalam, when he cried immensely out of regret and remorse for the mistake that he had committed, he sought forgiveness from the court of Allah. Let me just tell you, by the way, in Ibn Kathir it is written that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave Adam alayhi salatu wassalam because he sought forgiveness through the wasila of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala asked him, O Adam, How do you know of Muhammad whilst I have not created him? Adam alayhi salatu was salam said, Ya Allah, I do not know who Muhammad is or what you're going to create him for. But I know this much, when you instilled a soul into me, then I saw inscribed on your arsh, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I knew if any creation's name is worthy of being written next to your name, O Allah, then definitely he's the closest of the entire creation to you. Hence, I sought repentance through his wasila. And it was through the wasila of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala had forgiven Adam alayhi salatu wa salam. Nonetheless, even though he had forgiven Adam alayhi salatu wa salam, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala instructed him, O Adam, seek forgiveness by means of these words. And Allah recollects these words in the 8th juz of the Quran. Rabbana zalamna anfusana. Wallah, brothers, we marvel over the beauty of the Quran. What does this verse say? Oh Allah, we have oppressed ourselves. You know, what does it teach us? That by disobeying Allah, we don't harm Allah in the least bit. In a hadith of Qudsi, Allah informs us, if the entire creation, meaning humankind and jinn, were to come upon the worst amongst them, they were to become like the worst amongst them, it would not harm Allah in the least bit. And if the entire creation, meaning humankind and jinn, were to become like the best amongst them, it will not increase the treasures of Allah one bit. So, رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا. Oh Allah, we have wronged ourselves. By disobeying you, we are transgressing our own rights. We are oppressing ourselves. وَإِن لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. But oh Allah, if you don't show mercy to us, if you don't forgive us, then definitely, undoubtedly, without a shadow of doubt, we will be from amongst the losers. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, O insan, you will definitely falter. You will definitely make a mistake. That's why I quoted the hadith, Kullu bani Adam khata'un. Including the Sahaba, every single son of Adam, excluding the Anbiya, are sinners. At some time or the other in your life, you will sin. Wa khayrul khata'ina tawwabun. But the Nabi of Allah says, the best of all sinners are those who turn in repentance to Allah. So by making Adam alayhi salatu wa salam repeat these words, Allah wanted to send a message to the entire mankind until the day of Qiyamah. That because I have sent shaitan, because I have sent the nafs, you will definitely falter, you will definitely err, you will definitely be disobedient. But never become despondent, never lose hope, because you have tawbah and you have istighfar at your disposal. You know, just to very briefly mention to you, that what is the meaning of tawbah? Tawbah means to turn in repentance to Allah. What is the meaning of istighfar? It means to seek forgiveness from Allah. In a little while, I'll explain to you the difference by means of an example. But for now, you may have heard this before, there are three conditions which need to be met before tawbah is valid. Number one, you need to regret over having committed that sin. Number two, you need to immediately disassociate yourself from that sin. You must stop committing that wrong. And number three, you need to make a firm intention that never will I resort back to that sin in the future. I'll try my best. If these three conditions are met, then your tawbah is one which is valid and inshallah accepted in the court of Allah. One brother one day explained to me, he says, Mawlana, I did something wrong in the early part of my life. As a result, I have a criminal record. I've served my time in prison, I've cried my tears of remorse. But the blemish can never leave my name. Whenever I apply for a job, the criminal record comes up. Whenever I put forward a proposal for a woman, the criminal record comes up. My Allah says, if you disobeyed me your entire life, if your sins outnumber the foam of the ocean, but if you turn in tawbah to me, attaibu min adhambi kamal la dhambala, the one who makes sincere tawbah from his sin, it is as if he never committed that sin in the first place. These are not my words, they are the words of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let me share with you an explanation given by Dr. Abdul Hayy Arifi rahmatullah alayhi with regards to the verse kiraman katibin. He explains that kiraman katibin is in reference to two angels who have been allocated to every human being. The one sits on your right, the other sits on your left. The one on the right records your good deeds, the one on the left records your evil deeds. Brothers, look at the mercy of Allah. Allah has made the one on the right in charge of the one on the left. As soon as you do a good deed, the one on the right notes it down. But when you do an evil action, the one on the left is to seek permission from the one on the right. The first time he seeks permission, the one on the right says, no, give him an opportunity to make tawbah. The second time he seeks a permission, he says, no, give him another opportunity to make tawbah. Only on the third occasion does he allow him to write it. But then too, the doors of Allah's mercy and forgiveness are not closed. On an individual basis, the Nabi of Allah says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَقُبَلُ تَوْبَةَ الْعَبْدِ مَا لَمْ يُغَرْغِرْ. Until you don't reach that last moment of your life, when the gurgling sound can be heard from your throat, that's the time now when you can see the Malakul Maut, you can see the happenings of the year after. Until you don't reach that stage, then no matter what sin you have committed, no matter how you have erred, no matter how you have disobeyed Allah, Allah's doors of forgiveness and Allah's doors of mercy remain constantly open. You don't have to wait for the day of Ramadan, for the month of Ramadan. You don't have to wait for Laylatul Qadr. Allah says, you turn to me at any moment in the day, in the night, in private, in secret, I'm willing to listen to your repentance. On a collective basis, حَتَّى تَتْلُعَ الشَّمْسُ مِن مَغْرِبِهَا. Until the sun does not rise from the west. And that will happen very close to Qiyamah. Anybody, Muslim or non-Muslim, turning in repentance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah is willing to forgive them. Brothers, my message to you today is, as Muslims, it is haram for us to become despondent. إِنَّهُ لَا يَيْأَسُ مِن رَوْحِ اللَّهِ إِلَّا الْقَوْمُ الْكَافِرُونَ. Allah says, only disbelievers become despondent of the mercy of Allah. Ibn Taymiyyah has written, if Allah were to punish people, then those who would suffer the most severe form of Allah's punishment in this dunya are those who become despondent of the mercy of Allah. So as long as we are ashamed, as long as we have that regret, then there is always hope. One thing we must never do is become brave in the face of Allah. We must not roll up our sleeves in the face of Allah. We must not be proud over our disobedience. We must never try and justify our disobedience. Hakim al-Ummah rahmatullah alayhi has written, the reason why Allah has not forgiven shaitan, Allah is prepared to forgive shaitan, but the reason why he has not forgiven shaitan is because shaitan has shown no regrets. Coming back to those three conditions of tawbah that I was talking about. Many people, we know we are weak brothers, I talk about myself firstly. We say, Mawlana, look, we can regret over the sin. That's something which ought to be inherent. As a Muslim, it ought to be natural that we must feel ashamed and we must regret and have remorse over our wrongdoings. But to give it up, it's difficult. I watched television this morning, I looked at that ghair mahram women I consumed from interest, I took a drug, I took a tot of alcohol. I'm ashamed over what I'm doing, but I have no courage to give it up. To meet the second condition is difficult. And to meet the third condition is even more difficult, to make a firm intention never to go to it again. Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi in Ihya ul-Ulum has written, even for people like us, the doors of Allah's mercy is still open. Those are the three conditions for tawbah. But when it comes to istighfar, there are absolutely no conditions. Even if you do it now, and you say, oh Allah, forgive me, and you do it 5 minutes later, and again you regret, and you say, oh Allah, forgive me. If you continue to do it for the remainder of your life, my Nabi says, as long as you continue to make istighfar, ma asarra man istaghfara, you will not be written from amongst those who are habitual disobedient servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ulama have written that we must first resort to istighfar. As soon as you do the action, at least feel ashamed, at least have that regret. Make istighfar, and due to the barakah of that istighfar, Allah will grant you the tawfiq of making tawbah, which has those three conditions. And when you come to that level, then Allah will change your bad deeds into good deeds. Allah's doors of mercy are always open. That angel has to ask permission three times before he's allowed to write. Even after he has written, Allah says, إِنَّ الْحَسَنَاتِ يُذْهِبْنَ السَّيِّئَاتِ. You do good, I write off your evil deeds. مَنْ حَجَّ لِلَّهِ فَلَمْ يَرْفُثْ وَلَمْ يَرْسُكْ كَرَجَعْكَ يَوْمٍ وَلَدَتْهُ أُمَّهُ. The one who performs hajj for the sake of Allah, then he returns like the day his mother gave birth to him. Untold amount of opportunities Allah is willing to forgive us. All that is required from our side is we must not become bold in the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the minimum we can do is turn in istighfar to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Turn in repentance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, if we look at the opening sentence of the Quran, listen to this jewel which the Mufassirin have uncovered. The opening sentence of the Quran, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah. And then two attributes, two sifat, two qualities of Allah mentioned. Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim. Both of them denote mercy. The Mufassirin have asked the question, why does Allah bring two of His qualities which denote the same thing? Allah could have brought Rahman, He could have brought Samad day after, He could have brought Razzaq, He could have brought Ghaffar. Look at what the ulama have written. Allah wants us to know from the time we open the Quran, I have created you to make my mercy manifest. My mercy supersedes my anger. That's why Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim is repeated before every surah except Surah Tawbah. And that's why it was not only revealed to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, but it was revealed to Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam as well, as we see in the 90th juz of the Quran. Innahu min Sulaiman wa innahu Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. The qissa of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. One day he passes by a grave, Allah reveals to him that that man is being punished. A while later, he passes by the same grave. Brothers, wallahi, it brings tears to my eyes. Isa alayhi salatu wasalam is informed that that man is no longer being punished. He says, oh Allah, what is the outcome here? Allah says, his son went to madrasa and he read Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. How can I continue to punish his father? It is mentioned in Tafsir al-Kabir. One man had committed sin for 80 years of his life. And then he turned into repentance to Allah. Before he could say, Allah, forgive me, he just said, Ya Rab. He just said, Ya Rab. Allah said that he know that there is a Rab who might take him to task just due to the fact that he said, Ya Rab, I have forgiven him. Another incident is mentioned in Tafsir al-Kabir. That this man in the midst of the night, you know, sometimes we wake up at night, we feel uncomfortable, we turn around. When he turned around, he said the word Allah. When he came in the court of Allah after his demise, his evil deeds far outweighed his good deeds. Allah told him that one night you don't even realize it, you don't even remember it, but you took my name sincerely. Because of that, I have forgiven you. One hadith, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentions, the Sahaba had brought to Madinatul Munawwara the prisoners of war. And amongst these prisoners of war, there was one lady. And she was looking for her child. The love of a mother for a child is unparalleled. And she was going to every child and grasping the child. Is this my child? Is that my child? The Nabi of Allah says, he asked the Sahaba, do you think if she finds her child, she'll throw the child into a fire? They said, Ya Nabi Allah, she'll never do that. He says, Allah's love for His servants is 70 times more. That's why the great murderer, Hajjaj bin Yusuf Thaqafi, he had murdered many Sahaba. When he was on his deathbed, his mother came to him and said, oh Hajjaj, you have murdered those who set eyes on the best creation of Allah, the Sahaba. What's going to happen to you? So Hajjaj tells his mother, you bore me for 9 months. You gave birth to me. You nursed me. Will you be able to see me in the fire of Jahannam? She says, no. He said, Allah loves me 70 times more than He loves you. That is the mercy of Allah, brothers. The question we need to ask ourselves is, what are we waiting for? My time is almost expired. I would have loved to have expounded. In tonight's talk, inshallah, we'll discuss the mercy of Allah further in terms of the current political climate. Let me leave you with this incident. It's a very famous incident, but it's the moral behind the story that I want to highlight. There was a man who had killed 99 people. He went to a person who was a worshipper, a great abid, but he was not an alim. That's why the Nabi of Allah says, فَقِيهٌ وَاحِدٌ أَشَدُّ عَلَى الشَّيْطَانِ مِنْ أَلْفِ عَابِدٍ. One alim is greater on shaitan, more difficult for shaitan to handle than 1,000 worshippers. Because he has knowledge. This man told him, there's no tawbah for you, 99 murders. He completed his century by killing him. After a while, again he regretted. He went to this time an alim. The alim told him, my brother, what is your 100 murders compared to the mercy of Allah? The mercy of Allah is greater than the collection of sin committed from the time of Adam alayhi salam until the day of Qiyamah. You go to a city that is close by, you join up with that group of pious people, reform your life and, you know, worship Allah. As he is leaving, as I say, the story is famous. He passes away on the road. The malaika of azab and the malaika of mercy, simultaneously they descend. And an argument breaks out between the two groups. The one says, no, this man had killed 100 people, we need to take him, he is deserving of punishment. The other group says, no, this man had made an intention to reform himself. He was moving towards that town to repent. He is deserving of reward. Allah sends a third malak, a farishta, as an arbitrator. The arbitrator says to them, measure the distance between the town from where he left to the town to where he's going. If he's closer to where he came from, then the malaika of adab and punishment should take him. If he's closer to where he's going to, then the malaika of mercy and rahmah should take him. Brothers, wallahi, let's ponder over this. The ulama have written he was closer to the town from where he came from. Allah commanded the ground to move so that when they measured it, it could be closer to where he was going to. Our Allah commanded the ground to move so that he could accept the tawbah of a man who had killed 100 people. What are we waiting for? Allah has given us that opportunity, Allah has given us that knowledge, that these doors of forgiveness, these doors of mercy are very vast and they are very, very wide. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.